All right. Hey, what's up? This is Connor. I am waiting for Mike to dial in as host and hear the very off-putting robotic voice that greets you and instructs you to input your PIN. We have five callers already, and that is pretty cool because I was not sure that that was going to be the case. Looks like Mike is here. Mike, are you here? Mike, you here?
Connor, are you there?
I'm there. Did you hear the off-putting robotic guy?
The off-putting robotic guy sounds both a combination of nervous and aggressive at the same time. It's kind of like his voice kind of goes like this, but then he's like, if you want to get it, press the button. And he sounds like people that I've had admit me to offices in L.A. That's what he sounded like to me.
Wow. Mike used to ascribe passive aggression to his to the nav system in his old car as well. So this is a
Well, first of all, it's my current car. There is no, but I don't use the nav system. But you've heard it; it's true, right?
Yeah, I suppose. You know, if it wasn't, it's like if you hadn't, it's like the satanic verses in Led Zeppelin. If you hadn't, if you tell someone that you're listening for it, you might hear it more.
Yeah, way to yes and me. Thanks a lot.
Let's get right to it. We have some callers. Are you able to see them?
I am. Let me click on my interface here. Is there any morning zoo business we need to do first? Do we need to talk to – I think we sent Turd out on the corner, and he's wearing a diaper, and he's going to solicit people to put on a buffalo costume and harass American Indians, I think.
Yeah, that was a that was sort of thematic for our thing. Turd is –
Yeah, that was our theme for the – So we'll check in with him later, though.
Yeah, that guy's a wacky guy. And yeah, I didn't hook up a sound effect machine or anything like that. But if this works out, we'll do it for the next time. But I think we should go to our first caller. We're going to go to Leanne. Leanne, who has a question just about the how we sort of got started.
Yeah, let's hear.
Hey,
oh,
Leanne, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, how's it going?
Fine. I'm nervous.
Oh, there's no reason to be nervous. We're extremely nervous. We've heard so much about Leanne, and we know that you're going to be really mean to us. It's going to be awful. But we're going to get through this.
No, this is just a basic beginning question. I just wanted to know how you came about developing the podcast. Was it Ready Player One? Was that your sole inspiration? Or were you guys joking about that and just decided to do a podcast? Or what did you come up with the premise before the book and just kind of had a – you know,
well,
a flow like that?
Yeah, good question. Connor, you're the man. Give the explanation.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, during the course of the day, you know, Mike and I are chatting sort of about whatever we find during our writing and riffing, stuff like that. And oftentimes I'll be looking at Twitter during the day, and people started to pass around some of the choicest excerpts from Ready Player One when I think the movie trailer first came out. And some of those were the list, you know, the list of all the stuff he read and all that. And some of them were the atheist screeds or the business about, you know, the business about what Wade was doing when he was holed up in his little room with no windows. I don't want to talk about what he was doing to someone I just met. You seem nice, man. So I think I saw that to Mike, and I was like, hey, you know, we should do something. We should discuss this. And we sort of made it up as we went along.
Wow. Did you have any idea that it would take off the way it has?
You'd be doing so many more books after that one? I don't even think I knew Ernest Cline had written another book at that point in time.
Let me ask you, can I ask you a question in return, Leanne? Question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you, and you can be totally honest and you will hurt no one's feelings, do you read any of the books?
Oh, gosh, yes. I read every
okay.
single one.
All
right. So isn't that a weird little butterfly effect thing? Like, I saw something on Twitter. I told Mike we should podcast about it. And then 2 years later, you read The Sheriff of 64 Squares.
I know. That's amazing.
It's a wacky world
that's
we
amazing.
Live in. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We should probably move on to some of the people who are waiting, but we
okay.
really appreciate
thank
the call. Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Leanne.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Hey, that kind of works. Our little phone thing is working.
Let's see. Let's see who else we got in here. Can you see the screen? Do you want to pick someone?
Well, we have Elizabeth.
All right. Sweet.
Can we talk? Can we talk to Elizabeth? I think I can click on it. I'm going to do it. We're
on
looking
talk,
at a screen
yeah.
right now. This is super high tech. okay.
Ooh.
It's doing the spin. Hey, Elizabeth, is that you?
Yes. All right.
How are
you? Hey, this is Elizabeth. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. You want some of that morning show stuff, so.
Absolutely. I feel like Ken Beatrice running Sports Talk. I should start doing ads for Arby's Curly Fries.
That sounds good. I would like to know a little bit behind the curtain there. Are you guys talking via Skype normally? Do you have headsets on? Things like that. I'm curious because sometimes I can hear you guys kind of wandering off. You know, you get kind of quiet and then you get louder again, and I'm thinking, there must be a standard microphone that you're wandering off from. You probably talk on the phone like I talk on the phone, where I'll kind of wander around. So I was curious about that.
Well, yeah, occasionally I think I will, drop a bucket of marbles in my office and skitter around trying to get them. No, generally we're in two different rooms across this great land of ours. And yeah, we do it via either Skype I guess we use Skype mostly. And then we record it separately ourselves and we edit it back together. Fascinating stuff, I know. But we didn't always do that. Sometimes we recorded it right off of Skype into a board that I had in my office. But I don't think, have we done... Aside from our failed live show, have we ever done one together? I don't think we have.
No,
we
tried to work. Everything we've ever tried to do together has been lost to, the digital ages, or been sabotaged by baggage handlers.
Oh, that's right. They shattered my camera. The other guy lost his computer, like went up in smoke. This is very suspicious, Connor.
That is
I
weird.
Need to. I did just get a new mechanical arm for my podcast, for my microphone, though, because Mike was exactly what you said. You were able to tell that I was walking away from things. And that's just, at the hour and 40 minute mark of talking about trucking through time, I start to get a little restless. So I'm glad that was being picked up by our listeners.
Connor tries to get in a workup.
Yeah. You can hear him doing the sit-ups in the background. Can I ask a real quick Riff Tracks question?
Yes.
How do you record three different guys at the same time? Are you guys in the same room?
Now, yes, that's the opposite. We are all in the same room. We're at a little home studio at Kevin's place, and so we do it all together there. And he's got a professional rig there. Hell of a rig, I may say.
Oh,
and,
wow. Is it inflatable? Does it have discrete openings? I mean, so many questions.
Oh, don't say Kevin and discrete openings in the same.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a cue to move on. Thank you for calling, Elizabeth.
Okay.
It was awesome to talk to you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Oh,
all right,
man.
Connor.
All right. Let's pick the next one. This is next caller is Erin wants to talk about how the mister might be ruining her marriage. Oh boy.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
Erin,
hello.
Are you there?
Hi guys. Yes. Hi. So, catching up with the show, and we're on the mister, and I thought this would be a great book for my wife. Reads some of the romancy books, so I thought, well, this will be right up her alley. She'll love this, and she'll love the podcast. And guys, this book is terrible. I thought she'd probably be more into it than Tech War or the one about the CPA. It's rough, guys.
Erin, first of all, it may be time to stop. It may be time to even stop trying to get her to like it.
We got to see this thing through, Mike. We got to see this through.
The major slight to Dwight David Thrash, the one about the CPA, he is a CPA, FCPA, and Global Certified Management Accountant. Thank you very much. He did not take that 2-hour correspondence course to tack those additional two titles to his name for nothing.
That is true. I should have had more respect for the man than that. And
Well, how long have you guys been married?
About 15, 16 years.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well...
But now, you know what? This is being recorded, and she's going to hear you say about 15 or 16 years, Aaron. So you're screwed already.
She's looking at me right now. She's looking at me right now. It's like,
you're doomed.
16, yeah.
When is her birthday, Aaron? When is her birthday?
All
he's thinking of is Henry Hoover.
November 9th. November 9th. That's
oof. Oh, you are barely passing. This is a D minus at best.
You know. The next step was going to be to fake an aneurysm. You know, so if I couldn't think of it, I was just going to sort of hit the floor.
A massive groin tightening put you into the hospital.
Well, is there anything that we can do to make this go smoother for you? Is there any book suggestions? Is there if we shut down the podcast altogether, will it heal your marriage? I'm willing to do that.
No, I think the marriage will survive the podcast continuing. But I think that the next book needs to be another one, another romance book, but
oh my
better.
God.
So I'm just trying to keep that spark alive, guys.
Okay.
Well, we have good news for you. There is tons of romance in Trucking Through Time. We did not expect it, but
I am loving the guy who Charles whatever his name is
E. Harris
Charles E. Harris is a much better writer of erotica than E. L. James could ever be. Just from what I've seen in The Mister, I mean it's just miles beyond. Because at least the characters in Trucking Through Time are consistent. I mean, they're dull, but they're consistent. You know, you don't go from being horrible to being Prince Charming in the space of three lines in Trucking Through Time.
That's true.
In Trucking Through Time, there is only one character. His name is Chad and Dale. Yeah. So
it's easy to keep it straight. You know, E.L. James, you know, she doesn't understand her limitations trying to create more than one character at a time.
Well, thanks for calling in, Aaron. I want to leave you with this thought. Imagine when you were getting married at the altar 15 or 16 years ago, whichever it was, that you would one day utter the phrase, Charles E. Harris is a much better author of romance than E.L. James. It's a
given
grim
my life,
realization.
That seems to be likely. Yeah. thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Thanks, bye. Aaron.
Talk to you next time. Bye. All right. What do we got next?
Wow. Well, hopefully we did some healing today. I don't know. let's talk to Mark from Pennsylvania. Let's talk to him and see what he has to say. Mark, are you there?
I'm here, Mike. How are you guys?
We're wonderful.
We're great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm almost sensing a smile beginning to creep across my face.
It appears, but we don't know. We'll look at information.
Yeah.
It's a little bit foggy.
I'll give you an update in a little bit. I'm unsure as of yet, but
okay. What's your question?
Well, one thing I wanted to say is that in Trucking Through Time, I've actually come across the name Blue Duck in a book before.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and it was actually in Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry, which is a good buddy Western sort of thing.
I'm actually reading Lonesome Dove. I'm about 12% through the massive book that is Lonesome Dove. I've not got to Blue Duck yet, but it's I thought it would be interesting to do some Western genre research just to see if there was like any potential thing there. So that's fascinating that this has somehow intersected with my pleasure reading and bad reading.
Yeah. I was about to say your eyes will fall out of your head when you come across it. but other than that, guys, I just wanted to ask you both: do either of you have a personal favorite aspect of the podcast, like the skits, the segments, Bob Honey as a whole? What's your favorite?
Well, since you bring it up, I guess being done with Bob Honey was actually, I mean, that was rough stuff. I hope that it didn't get too dark in the podcast, but it was bitter reading for us. And we tried to temper our own attitudes towards it, but that is grim stuff. So actually finishing it was my favorite thing.
I think my favorite thing is we put effort into this stuff, you know, and the sketches and stuff, and we create these sketches that are, you know, funny and people enjoy, and are 100% unable to travel to anyone who hasn't listened to every single episode of the podcast because they're weird and self-referential, and you need to know the exact like weird sentence that we focused on that week. So there's no way to post it and have anyone else enjoy it or advertise the podcast through them. Like Mike said last time when we submitted something, he's like, here's another one that our grandfathers would have really enjoyed. Like just the...
I played my son in one of the sketches, and he also was puzzled, of course, by everything, but he's just like, all right, I'll just read it, whatever. And then my wife wanted to play it for some other relative, and I'm like, oh, please, no. This is, I can see how this is going to go, and it is going to go very badly. Let's just let that lie.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for calling, Mark. I will let you know when I finally get to Blue Duck in Lonesome Dove, if I ever make it there.
All right. Please do. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Oh,
thanks,
we appreciate
Mark.
You. Talk to you later. We got a special caller next time. This is someone who's been with us for a long time and probably the only listener whose name I've ever made fun of. Mark Berger, you're on the line.
Hey. Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's happening?
Good.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. How's your sex life?
Oh, it's
no, don't, please don't answer that. Yeah.
Not as good
no,
as Chad.
No, definitely.
That's for sure.
No, it's really cool to talk to you guys. And, you know, I've been a listener for a very long time. And I feel like Ernest Cline, like, I feel like his writing was geared for, like, my audience. Like, I was a huge nerd or whatever, like, and, you know, Ultraman, Godzilla fan. And, you know, I appreciate what you guys did to, like, dissect that for me and, like, you know, sort of remove the pandering from the story and, like, you know, put me on the right path. I was wondering if you guys were considering doing, like, other classic works of literature? Like
Ulysses type of book or Moby Dick?
You know, like Connor LaStoca and Mike Nelson read the Iliad or something, like...
Oh, man.
I think we talked about books that were actually good. I think we did, you know, as we were compiling lists for each one, I think a few times we toyed with the idea of, you know, what if we did read something good? I don't know how much that would produce in terms of, I'm sure we could come up with crazy sketches that made no sense to anyone but us. I'm sure that wouldn't be an issue, but you know, I don't know the potential to step on a lot of toes, although I'm sure we do that anyway. There's probably people who, I mean, I know I stepped on toes with Ernest Cline's work. A good friend of mine didn't know I did the podcast and he listed it as one of his favorite books. And then he was talking to a third friend and this guy said, oh, you have to listen to Mike's podcast. He's like, what? Mike does a podcast on it. He listened to the whole thing. He called me and he was like, you son of a...
Well, I mean, to be fair, you guys like start out with like, you know, we're reading books that we're not expecting to like. Well, this is a podcast that I wasn't expecting to like because, you know, my friends at Riff Tracks are like tearing on this book that, you know, I really appreciate at the time. So
I think, you know, the way that we, you know, at Riff Tracks, we sort of were to like, you know, it was essentially to ward off people who were like, yeah, how come you guys, you know, don't only make fun of garbage. Like I loved, you know, Ready Player One. And, you know, so we did Casablanca just so we could sort of have that in our back pocket to be like, look, we don't just talk about things we hate. So I think it could be fun to do something sort of classic just because like Mike said, like the opportunity for sketches and stuff would be really fun. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that you guys don't just like make fun of it. Like you offer like your own critical analysis to it. Like
sure.
You're not like hating on it.
Right, exactly. And the one thing that dissuaded me about Ulysses was the impenetrable prose of Bob Honey. That was just so much harder to dig into and find stuff that was funny. And so I think that would be it might be a taller order with Ulysses. So I don't know, though. Something that was I read a lot of bad books as an English major. So it could be fun to dig into something that was ancient like that. But it would have to be an easy read, I think.
Yeah, oh, I mean, sure. I would just add we did the same thing with Jaws for Riff Tracks, which is, you know, probably in my top 10 as a movie. I mean, who doesn't love Jaws? And everybody who wrote on it liked it, but it made a really fun Riff Tracks for everyone because you're going, man, it's not a slog. It's paced the way you want to see something paced. It's exciting, and then so you know, it's just you calibrate the level of criticism and in the classical sense of criticism to the actual product itself, and it works out. You know, it's still just right. a bunch of people trying to be funny and watching something that's good. So it could be done with a book. Maybe we'll just do Jaws the book and see how it goes.
I've had people say that that book is, you know, nowhere near as good as the movie, so that could work out. Well, thanks for calling, Mark.
You guys called out. Oh yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. That was awesome.
Wait, what's
thanks,
the what, your transcript said? I wanted to give you guys some unbridled press.
Oh, that was unbridled praise. It totally enticed me.
And it capitalized the B in bridal, so I was all right. Well, what's your bridal press tip in 10 seconds or less?
I love you guys. Keep it up, and keep on trucking.
Can I say hi?
Oh, absolutely.
And my girlfriend.
Hi to whoever that was.
Hi.
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 Thanks for calling, Mark. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Mark. So long.
Oh man, this is awesome. It's cool that
this is good.
Yeah, people, it keeps filling up. This interface works. The the catch with this interface, they gave you like $12 free when you signed up, and then your phone number takes 10 of that, so then you had $4 left over. And then to have any sort of like actual lengthy call, like you have to add to your balance, but you can't add like $5. The minimum was $35 to add to this, so we may have to do this again.
Oh, so wait, so it just gets cut off at a certain point?
It would, but I added the $35, so we've got you can see the balance.
Oh, I see. We're gonna have a balance. Oh, well, that's a good problem to have. Let's go to Janelle. Do you want to do that?
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk to Janelle. Hopefully,
Janelle,
she's calling
you
right now. Janelle.
Yes, hello. Hi.
What's happening?
I'm calling into your show, and it actually rang through.
Nice. It's good to talk to you. You've been listening since the very beginning.
Yes, I have. So, there's a reason why I usually send in emails. I just wanted to, I had a couple things I wanted to say. Thanks for doing the podcast.
You're welcome. Because
it's getting me to it's getting me to read more, and I have like this whole headcanon where like Mike drew the short straw. When you have like, you know, like you constantly have like crazy, weird, wacky ideas, and they were just like, all right, fine, I'll just do it. I'll appease him. And it took off.
I do not think that's headcanon. I think that is legit canon.
Oh, awesome. Cool. So
it is 100% legitimate. Yes. You have sleuthed it out.
Great.
Let's abuse this guy, and then you know people actually started listening to him, and he think he was like, "Oh my God, what have I done?"
Yeah, I didn't think he'd get past RPO, and then he did Armada, and I was like, "Really?"
Chanel, have you read all the books? You can be honest; it will not.
I've read every single book. Unfortunately, I've even connected the newest chapters of Trucking Through Time to. Ready Player One.
Wow.
Explain.
Okay, well, so I feel like the ending, like a good ending to the masturbation screed in Ready Player One is where Wilson gets his penis chopped off and has a death-defying scream. I was like, that needed to happen. Like, if that's not in RPO 2, or RP2, sorry, whatever, then I'm
Wade?
Going to demand my money back.
Happening to Wade?
Whoever. But yeah. Okay. Sure.
So I don't know if Mike has read the reading for the next time, but when I got to that point, I stopped what I was doing. I laughed out loud. That was such an amazing moment when you look at the picture of kindly old Charles E. Harris on the back, and then that moment happens. So I don't know if he knows what we're talking about, but it was pretty amazing.
Oh, well, sorry, spoiler alert.
Oh, man, that's what happened. Oh, I look so forward to that. The fact that it gets crazier than the love scenes makes me very happy. So I look forward to the reading.
Yeah, love scenes. Oh, and also I'm going to plug, you can definitely do Twilight if you guys wanted to.
Oh, yeah. So what's the deal? You've been either rewatching or rereading those books?
Well, both, because the plot holes in the movie annoy me so much that I've actually read through every single Twilight book, and I found a Simpsons reference in it.
Oh, wow. What's that?
Yeah. There's no corgis or baseball, but there's Simpsons. Well, Bella says to Jake that something she said was a Simpsons reference, and that was it.
Oh, huh. Oh, wow. So Bella is a Simpsons watcher. That changes everything.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's the linchpin for the whole series. Now, maybe it's good and maybe I like it. Oh, my God, you've blown my mind, Janelle.
So is there actual stuff in the books that like doesn't happen in the movies? Like, I mean, the books are like thick. I remember because I burnt a copy of New Moon one time for a video.
You're not wrong to do that. Well, the whole last scene in the job interview,
though, was the thing. That's why it was weird.
Well, you hired him anyway. So at the end of the movie in Breaking Dawn 2, you know how like y'all were like upset because the whole battle never actually took
place. Because a werewolf fell in love with a baby? Yeah, I was except.
Yeah, that's just as weird in the book. But that whole fight scene, and then it was just a ruse or whatever, never actually happened. They literally just stand in the field and talk to each other and have a civil discussion. End of book.
Wow.
That's how it should be. I don't like tension in my drama. I just like things to happen. So that's nice.
She wrote another book, right? You wrote a book called, like, The Host or something, or?
Yeah, I haven't been brave enough to go into that.
Maybe that could be a follow-up, just because we know Twilight so well. It would be interesting to see what else she does. I don't know. We'll see.
The Mister, meet the host, will you?
I mean, thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask if you have any more news or updates on if you guys are doing another live show, like a live podcast recording.
Yes. Right? Can we talk about that?
I think there's no reason to not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do it in Minneapolis, and it is going to be at the same location as the last time on September 18th. It's a Wednesday. Makes it really convenient for people to get there who don't live there. But yeah, we pretty much narrowed that down last week, and now we're going to figure out what we're going to do for that. but teaming up with David Berge again from Like Trees, and I think we're going to just have another good time. It was really fun last time.
Yeah, good beer.
Well, we wouldn't know.
Good brewing. Yeah. Well, I know. Don't get us started, Janelle.
Yeah. He's assured us that we've got a better guy recording it this time. So, yeah, come and see us if you can.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much, and bye.
Yeah, thank you
for
listening.
Janelle.
Thanks for writing in, Janelle. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We've got a guy named Charles who's been on the line for a long time.
He's got
a recommendation.
Charles, the author of a certain book.
Charles E. Harris, are you there?
You read my book? Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Hey,
can you hear us?
Hey, Charles.
Yeah, I can hear you. No, I'm not the author. I'm just really proud to share the name with such a genius, Charles.
He's a visionary. I mean, you know, it's the more I read the book, the more I think that like in the right hands, it could have been something could be made of it.
There's a fine line between genius and madness.
What you said? You have a suggestion. What is the suggestion?
I do. I feel like I'm riding on the coattails of the guy a couple callers ago who said you should read classics. I don't think this is a classic, but I read the book in the Oxford World Classics edition of She Who Must Be Obeyed by H. Rider Haggard, and it is as bad as anything you've read. And it's probably on Project Gutenberg for free for anybody who wants to get a copy easily.
Elaborate
on
this book, because I'm looking him up, and he looks like a early 1800s American president.
I thought he looked like the guy from Devil Doll or something, like a hypnotist or with a pointed beard or something like that.
He does. He has a very evil beard.
The hint for me when I read the introduction of this where the author was talking about how it was incredible that he managed to become a published author after having read almost nothing in his life.
Wow. That's like all of our people. I think I read something by him. Didn't he influence... I think he influenced people like Chesterton and so I think they liked him when they were kids, if I recall.
Really?
I think he's like Edgar Rice Burroughs kind of stuff with its big, lost worlds kind of thing and exoticism and, you know, going to to countries with and being captured by she demons and stuff like that. Is that kind of on the right path?
Yeah, if Chesterton couldn't put a sentence together, so Chesterton somehow learned how to write, which is
yeah, yes, he did.
So is this the book? Is the book She Who Judged Me Obeyed the same thing as the movie She that we like that Legend Films colorized and Bridget Mary Jo riffed?
I have the suspicion it is.
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
So it's like King Kong with a woman.
Basically, yes. And nothing that happens makes any sense for them to the book is not better than the movie in this case. I'll say that. go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, just says what was so irritating about the book?
It was just a series of non sequitur events. And it actually reminded me a lot of Trucking Through Time because there are long paragraphs of dialogue, characters talking to each other in very disconnected ways, sentences right. that didn't seem. Yeah, I'll leave it at that because it's kind of blocked itself out of my memory. But this would be one where if you did it, maybe it would come back to me. I wouldn't have to read along.
That's your long con. Getting, all right, we got you.
It's the oldest book we've ever done, so it would be interesting. It'd be quite a stunt.
Mentioning Edgar Rice Burroughs, one of my friends who listens also he came up to me and he was shocked that he listened to your whole episode about Eye of Argon, and he said, "I can't believe they kept saying I don't know who he's trying to copy. They're clearly trying to copy Edgar Rice Burroughs." And I think this was a guy who liked Edgar Rice Burroughs. I don't think I've gotten a page of him myself.
Yeah, the main thing that we heard they were copying was the Conan the Barbarian books, which, sure, it makes sense.
Oh, well, maybe it was that and I didn't remember it right.
We'll take it under advisement, Charles. Thank you so much. I think I've read him before, so maybe I'll dip in again. And I have read Edgar Rice Burroughs, but thanks for the suggestion, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thanks calling.
Yeah. Thanks for doing the show.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Before we take the next call, I just want to quickly say, and unfortunately I guess that Charles can't still be listening to this, but he can hear it later. I just read Frankenstein, and I've been telling everyone, that is the worst book I've ever read. It is just garbage.
Really?
The prose starts at a 12 and, then goes to a 14 and never dips below a 13 again, and it's just so irritating.
You mean in terms of its, floweriness or what?
Yeah, it's just my heart, was exploding in my chest. There's a lot of, the Mister kind of stuff going on with the guy. Because he does this, and then the monster, he does this monstrous act of creating Frankenstein's monster, and then just never has peace again. But there's no ups and downs. It is at an 11 the whole time. It just goes on and on. And, it was written by a 19-year-old, and it feels like it was written by a 19-year-old. The ideas in it are probably what people like, but the prose is awful. Just
sure.
Awful.
And you read Dracula recently, too, right?
Dracula's 1,000 times better than that, and it's pretty pulpy, but it's good. It's better.
Huh.
Anyway,
I read the novelization of Castlevania from the Scholastic Book Fair in fourth grade. I think we're pretty much on the same level. Yeah. This is another one that has a weird translation, but we're going to talk to Harris now, who wants to talk about 409 and how it relates to a lot of Curtis clients' work ematic. Does that make any sense, Harris?
No, sorry. My name is Nolan. You might know me better for my work. I was the winner of the 64 Squares Farside Meme Contest.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Give us a refresher just in case we...
It was the mating call, animals and their mating calls, and at the bottom where it's a human, it's his rant about the trumpet, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
I really enjoy playing the trumpet. That's my favorite line of the whole book. It just says so much. Says so much without saying much at all, doesn't it?
Oh, man. Do you have that meme framed and displayed in your house to brag to people when they walk in the door?
No, I should. I should get that. I should get on that, though. Yeah, so I mumbled a little in my intro, so the... the transcription didn't go through, I guess. But also real quick, I heard you talking about skits earlier.
Yeah.
What's up with that? You don't do skits on the show, though. I'm a little confused.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point.
That's a really good point. I was confused, too. I didn't know what the person was talking about.
Yeah. So Sword Art Online, it's this – I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a Japanese anime. And I know when you hear anime, you probably shrivel up inside a little, but I'm going for more of this. But what
sure.
It is, it's an anime about a bunch of people who are – they put on helmets, these virtual reality helmets, and they get – trapped in this MMO, this online game, and the creator of the game says, oh, you have to fight your way out to survive, and if you die in the game, you die in real life. And it has a lot of very, very strange parallels to Ernest Cline's work I've very recently discovered, because the main character in particular, he's like, I don't want to say a savant, but he's just good at everything, and so there's no tension in any of the scenes, because you just know he already has everything solved. I made notes. Hold on.
Did it come out before or after RP1?
It was originally a light novel, which is just a short novel in Japan. So
okay.
There, it was a book in 2002, and it got made into an anime, I think, in early 2010s. I'm not sure. But it's just it's really bad. It's just pure wish fulfillment. The intro is pretty interesting, but then it just sort of forgets that. This is serious. We're going to be killed, and it's just all filler, and the main character is just this blank slate, and girls just fall all over him for no reason. He has no personality. It's
wow.
Just,
how
yeah,
much how
worst.
Much does lag take up in the story of it?
A lot of lag. It's lag free. There's no rigs though. It's just a pre-bought helmet. Very very disappointing.
What is the name of the anime again?
Then.
Sword Art Online. It's still going. It's very popular, actually. They're still making new content.
Sword Art?
Sword
I'm to find
Art.
It. Sword Art. All right.
A-R-T. Oh, there is. Oh,
well,
in the second season, much like the insanely hot mom, there is an insanely hot little adopted sister.
Oh, my God.
That was a nice girl, also. Yes. they go there. It's okay. She's adopted.
Oh man, this could be a scandal you've uncovered where it turns out that Cline just had watched this. Although I guess Cline pretty much only knew the three most popular animes in existence in order to write his books, which is that's what my knowledge is of too. So I'm not gonna fault him on that. I will look into it because I don't know. I posted a picture of Akira the other day, and someone online told me they didn't expect me to post pictures of Akira, and I contain multitudes, man. So like. Back off, guy on Twitter who said that. Well, thanks for the recommendation, man. Anything that makes Cline look worse, I'm in favor of, so I would like to check it out.
The author I love, like he's, he's a terrible writer, but like I kind of respect him a little because he's been in interviews and been like, oh, I know it's kind of bad, but it makes money, so I'm not going to stop.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I would appreciate it, Ernest Cline, more if he did say that sort of stuff. Cool, man. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me. You're doing really good work here.
Thank you. That's
thanks
really kind of
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you
thank
later.
Thank you.
So long.
Bye.
All right.
I think our next caller, Brian, I believe we have the same problem. This is going to be fascinating when we talk to him because his transcript is a hash to me, but we'll see what he has to say. So let's get Brian on the line. Brian, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Hey, listen, I'm a longtime listener, first time caller. Love the show.
Oh man,
well, thank you
we're
so
getting
much.
So many first time callers here. It makes
yeah,
me
it's amazing.
What we've been doing. Yeah, next time we do this, we're not going to be able to give everyone that catchphrase. So
no,
yeah,
I was saying you should make your talk show with Winger and the Prune. And your catchphrase would be shit. Just yell out.
Oh man,
Winger and the Prune is good. I like that.
I think I'd be the prune in that equation. I'm accepting
wow,
it now.
Immediately
like, why not?
Them.
I don't know. Yeah, brother.
Well, as long as Mike steeples his chrome fingers on his chrome nose.
He is always doing that. It's something I've been meaning to talk to him about. So thanks for helping me out with it.
I have dipped myself in a galvanizing tank, and I am 100% chrome now. So my dream fulfilled.
Well, the reason I was calling was, I mean, someone might have already asked this, and I don't know, but so what are you guys thinking about Ready Player 2 when it comes out? And it's, I mean, it's like the genesis of this podcast, so it seems like you have to delve into it, but maybe you're over it. I don't know.
Someone mentioned Ready Player 2. Go ahead.
Which one of us is under arrest right now? Are
that's
we hearing?
Me, that's me. Yeah. So, no. Yeah. Okay. That last caller mentioned the hot anime younger sister, and that pretty much triggered the neighborhood alert on me. I think that the Ready Player 2, someone mentioned the other day, and I looked it up just to see if there was even anything that was like a pre-order, and there's nothing so far. So I don't know if he's pulling a George R.R. and just you know, hobnobbing at South by Southwest with celebs instead of writing. And but there's nothing up there now. And in fact, someone stole the title. Someone wrote a book about like women in gaming or something, which was a pretty good way to steal that title back from him. But I would love to do it. I think I would love to see if he's learned any lessons. I would love to see if he obtained an editor at some point in time. And it would delight me so much if he had not learned any lessons and it was just as bad. So I would do it in a heartbeat.
That sounds
same here.
Great. What? Mike, what about you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to say that I would enjoy all the readings. I would appreciate it. Look, if he's listening, maybe he's on the line now. Maybe he's the next caller. Ernest, just keep it shorter, man. Just like trim it back by two-thirds. There's not enough story there. So, and your prose is garbage. Unless you've turned into, Turgenev or something, just keep it short.
Right. And it would be great to see if the reactions of the world were sort of like Mike Myers with the Love Guru, where that came out and people were like, garbage, utter garbage. And Mike Myers was like, this is no different than anything I've done throughout my entire career. Like, what the hell just happened overnight to make this the one that people decided was going to be, my career ender type of thing. So I would hope that would happen to Ernest Cline, too.
Well, my guess
I actually
is
had that same feeling about, the Cats thing that shook up the internet the other day, the Cats
right.
trailer,
yeah,
and
yeah.
everyone's like, this looks awful. Like, Cats has been around for 50 years, and it's always been people jumping around in leotards. What the hell is now disturbing you about this? This has always been horrifying.
My guess
sorry,
is that, that Ernest Cline is sitting at home watching back-to-back viewings of Sword Art Online right now. So that's probably what
it is. One too many back-to-back viewings will do that. Well, thanks for calling, Brian. I think we should probably pick up the pace and get to some more people, but really appreciate you listening, and we will do Ready Player 2 as soon as we get some info about it. Later, man.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Shit.
So long. You got to get
right.
on the way
this
out.
Is,
nicely done.
Winger in the prune. We've got our intern
yeah.
down the street. He has been arrested. That's what those sirens were for. Turns out that was a bit of a hate crime.
Let's get to our next caller. This is Nathan. Let's talk to Nathan and see what he's up to. Hey, Nathan. This is Winger in the Prune. How are you?
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
I was wondering, would you guys ever consider reviewing something like doing a short story collection for the
oh,
show?
Oh, man. That could be kind of fun.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, we haven't looked at it yet. Do you have anything in mind?
Yeah, there's one I read a few months ago. I mean, I know I've heard you mention P.G. Woodhouse quite a lot on the show.
And yes.
I read a short story collection that's a bunch of pastiches with Jeeves and Wooster meeting pretty much every pop culture character that was mentioned in Ready Player One.
This is like a fan book?
Yeah.
Holy
wow,
crap.
This might be in our wheelhouse. Good heavens.
What's it called?
It's called Whimsy and Soda by Matthew David Brozik, I think.
Wow. That sounds...
A nom
yeah,
de plume remember. For Dwight David, perhaps? I don't know.
So he just did this? He took the characters and sort of wrote fanfic about them?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean... I read the book and it wasn't very good. He actually wrote an essay online about how he managed to get permission from P.G. Woodhouse's estate for it that was way more interesting than the actual book.
Wow.
That sounds great. That is a fantastic find. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, it looks like he's like, you should look at the picture of him, Mike. I think that you would, I think you would want to punch him if you saw the picture. Well, yeah, I think that would be interesting just to, you know, the short stories would sort of divide themselves up episodically. And do they end up intersecting with each other or are they unrelated?
Oh, they're pretty much completely unrelated.
They're all
just really random stuff.
Cool.
That would make my reading load easier, so I like it, Nathan. Thank you. Thank you for
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, we will take a look at it and take it under consideration. Thanks for calling, man.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later. All right. Let's, what are we at? 48 minutes? We can do this, for an hour and then call it?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Sounds good. So this guy says, this is Mike. I'm calling about the books. I'm oppressing the county. So Mike, what the hell does pressing the county mean?
No, that's close. that's real close, but that's not quite what I said. I was hoping you guys would pass the books.
Oh, like, man.
From either, current or, being a big MST and Riff Tracks fan, there's a plethora of fabulous characters. The current book, the only person I can think of, though, is Tom Servo, dressed as, the truck driver in that one Mystery Science episode where he has no butt. That's the only thing I can think of for this particular book.
Chad and Dale, I think that I've been watching Stranger Things. I think the guy that plays Hopper could be a good trucker. He might be a good Dale since he's heavier. And Steve Buscemi maybe as Chad,
is Steve Buscemi your version of a clean cut guy who knows karate?
Karate would be.
Yeah.
The karate might be a bit of an impediment for Steve. who would you cast then?
Like I was saying, it's previous books. I thought we were going to go there especially with the last one. I thought we were going to start casting, Channing Tatum. it would help sort of picture some of the events in that particular book.
I think that the sheriff of 64 Squares, the guy that had that booming catchphrase. If you got the guy from Stranger Things could do that as well too. He'd make a good Bob Honey too. He's a versatile dude.
I was thinking of who's the guy who played Roger from Mad Men would be the sheriff of 64 Squares, doing kind of an ironic take on it, yelling out and being a little bit drunk in the morning and yelling out at people. I can see that.
Well, I assume Sean is going to play himself, right? In the movie version of his book.
I think that would only be fair. I think
excuse me, dual role of Pappy and Sean.
I think you would have to I would think you would have to get the did you see our last live show Star Raiders?
Yes, I did.
I think that dweeby, oh nice. The dweeby little kid who played the brother who at the end was like the main character. I think he would have to be the lead in Armada, cuz Armada would obviously be a very low budget movie, possibly direct to Netflix, and I think that guy would be a good Zach Lightman for just like how crappy that role is.
Yes, and handle huge, long, talky areas that just go nowhere, too. Just huge, long monologues that mean nothing.
And obviously the insanely hot mom would have to be Marissa Tomei at this point in time, because that's sort of the role she sees. Because that's what she does in Spider-Man, right? That's her, I don't know, I'm going down a bad path here. I have
Argon. Keep bringing that up, let's drop it.
Grigner, let's cast that and then move on.
Oh, Grigner? Who's the guy? Guardians of the Galaxy, the big dude.
Chris Pratt?
No, the
bald
the,
guy.
Bautista.
Yeah, just the giant guy. Yeah.
That'd be another one that would clearly go direct to Netflix or Hulu or Crackle or something like that. So, yeah, that seems in line.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thanks for calling. It's a good question. I wish I was better prepared to answer it, but I will establish my own headcanon like Janelle did about what these movies would be like. Thanks, man.
Yes, thanks. Wonderful. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
So
thanks, guys.
Talk to you later. Looks like there are currently three people in the queue. I think we can probably fit them in the next.
Yeah, let's
minutes.
Do these three. So if you were on the fence, probably just wait and don't call in, right? Let's
yeah.
talk to these three people.
No way to tell that to people who are currently.
Yeah, there's no way to tell that to people because they'd have to be in the queue. Look, this is the first time doing this.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Let's talk to Michael from Tampa.
Michael, are you there?
Michael from Tampa, you're on the line.
Oh, hey.
What's happening?
Nothing much. I called. I'm kind of a late joiner of the Patreon. I'm glad you guys got to go 400.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you,
wow.
Michael. Well,
that's
we're celebrating you tonight.
Yeah, this is all happening because of you. That rules.
I mean, I got was about 391. I'm pretty sure I got that number. But,
oh, nice.
You know. Mm-hmm. Well, my message was basically, I guess, was if you guys were thinking of maybe something different as far as genre goes, I was thinking, personally for me, like maybe something horror.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, in previous calls we brought up. I brought up how bad I thought Frankenstein was, and that would kill the classic and horror at the same time. I guess if you consider Frankenstein horror, which I think you do. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any suggestions off the top of your head?
Only one that comes to mind is kind of mixed with something else I was thinking of as well, which would be. Adaptations, like book adaptations.
Oh, wow.
Oh, sure.
Like
yeah.
A Friday the 13th movie or something?
Something like that. It was this book series that they had novelizations of the video game series Resident Evil.
Oh,
and,
wow. Brother. They couldn't even make a good movie out of that, like let alone a...
And, well, the thing is, one of the books is an original story. And I remember reading that, and it was like one of the silliest things I've read.
Well, I've played Resident Evil 4 the whole way through, but oh my God, there's a ton of these books.
Yeah,
the Umbrella.
It's by a guy called S.D. Perry.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh, man.
One I was thinking of is Caliban Cove, and that was just I'm pretty sure it's notorious among fans of the series that it's one of the worst books or related media of it. So,
Caliban, like the creature in The Tempest?
Yeah, I think Caliban.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. Set in the aftermath of their ordeal through the Umbrella Corporation's genetic research facility, the surviving member of the STARS attempt to warn the world about the conspiracy to create terrifying biological weapons. Wow. The cover art is... The cover art looks to be exactly the caliber of what you would expect from a Resident Evil. It's the first all original novel based on the video game. Man, I don't know. That seems like it could easily work.
Birdemic James Wen is already working on the screenplay, so that's tied up. So we're good there.
I think that could be
well,
that
thank
could
you
work,
so-
man. Yeah. Thanks,
thank you,
man.
Michael. We'll take it under advisement. We appreciate the suggestion.
Sure. I mean, I love the show and just keep doing what you're doing and I'll be here to support you then.
Really appreciate it,
man.
Appreciate thanks for calling in.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a
talk to you later. Have a good night. All right. So people have since filled up the lines. I think that we're probably going to do two more. So that means I see that Taylor and Jeff are on. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get to you guys because I have to go eat dinner and my glass of beer is empty. But we are going to be able to talk to Whitney.
Whitney, how are you?
Whitney is
I'm doing
Whitney.
Well. I'm quite
there. She
I'm
is.
Here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
What's happening?
Not much. I'm very much excited. I know it was one of your more recent subscribers, but I've been listening for a while, probably since Bob Honey began. So.
Oh,
that was what
moved
you in.
Which
I get more of this.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm actually I major in literature English. And so I've read a lot of things from a lot of different periods of time, and that's probably literally the worst book I've ever read in my life.
Wow.
Oh, thank you so much for giving the imprimatur of an actual reader and person who knows something.
Like, it
so,
isn't
we're not
even
insane.
Worse than anything I would have gotten from an undergraduate or even somebody who is in creative writing.
Oh, man. Oh, so you teach, too.
Hello?
You teach, too?
I think the call must have dropped or something.
Oh, no. It
oh,
hasn't
no.
Here.
I can't hear you at all.
Oh, no.
Oh,
damn it.
Shoot. Oh, we hear Whitney. I hope this is recording. It just dropped her off. Oh.
Damn it.
Dang.
It
just
well,
dropped her off.
Yeah, I didn't. Sorry about that, Whitney. We will try that again sometime. But that is, yeah, that's always reassuring because we're just, you know, we're a couple of idiots. And so it's always nice to have someone who has, you know, studied and, you know, spent their time doing this kind of thing to verify that, no, you guys are right. That is very true that this is very bad.
I don't think anyone weighed in on the positive on that one, right? I mean,
no.
It wouldn't have bothered me if they did. It's like, look, I don't care what you like. It's fine. But
right.
I just didn't see any of it.
It was just Sarah Silverman, I guess. And I you have to assume she would be like, of course I didn't read it. I did him a favor because, you know, he's an Oscar-winning director. So, like, yeah.
Right. I go to his parties.
Yeah, right. So now we've got John, the process of publisher works from Monday right in record the kids and put them into the show. Don't know what that means, but we're going to talk to him and find out now. John, how are you?
Hi there. How you doing?
Excellent.
Good, how are
having
you?
A good night. It's a little hot in my room because the door is closed, but other than that, things are good.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, sounds like they didn't transcribe my words very well. But
this has been very hit and miss on our little program here, so it's not your fault.
Okay. No,
so what did you
I
mean?
Was just wondering
what did you have to say?
Yeah, just basically I was curious about the process of how you do the show weekly. But it looks like you record the show and then release it to patrons the same day, but then you also have the little skits that you put in there. So, like, when do you write and record the skits, and how does that get put in? I was just curious about that.
Well,
yeah,
like,
good question. We do that. We write them in advance of the show and give them to one another. And, you know, there's very rarely someone else. I know it sounds like there's a whole bunch of tremendous acting and all of these things and that we're pulling from a great pool of people. But it's mostly Connor and I and occasionally Bridget and my son and his friend. And so, yeah, we just write them and kind of they're a bit patched together. They take a little more work for us, but we do them pretty much on the same day. I don't think that we've ever gone over.
Yeah, I don't think
Connor,
so.
Have you?
I don't think so. But, like, I've always, like, the editing stuff, like film or audio like this is the one thing that I can sort of, like, get lost in terms of, like, looking up and being like, oh, my God, an hour and a half has passed. So putting the skits together that are more intricate to me is always a really fun process. I always enjoy the chance to get to do that. By that, I mean by going on the dark web and locating these recreations.
Is a much easier way to do it. Yes, yes, exactly.
That's what you really do, I know, but yeah sure.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hope the dark web never finds out that we're talking about it like this, because I'm sure they would not appreciate their drug running and weapon stuff being reduced to sketches like this.
Make them look bad,
huh? Be all over us.
I think there's not too much else that's really intricate about the process. It's more of just when do you want to do this, Mike? And we figure it out and sort of, you know, take care of it the night before. And the internet has fortunately made stuff like this possible. And evidently now we can do call-in shows on our own too. So
yeah it's amazing.
Yeah. Well thanks for calling in, John. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to talk to you. Good luck to show.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. I knew we said we were doing, let's do one more. We're going to do Taylor because he's been on for 7 minutes or 8 minutes. And then after that, sorry, folks, if you're on right now, I think we've got to bail because it's been an hour. We still have a balance.
Connor's beer is empty. Again. You heard that. His beer is empty. This is an emergency. All right. Let's
so
talk
we're
to Taylor.
We're talking to Taylor instead of getting a beer. How are you, Taylor?
Hello. You can guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, great. Awesome. I can't believe I made it. I was worried. When I heard Steph. I'm sorry, Stephanie, but I'm kind of happy that she got dropped.
man, I know. It's a big conspiracy. But yeah, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. So there's a good chance that this question's already been asked, but I wanted to know what you guys think would be, out of all the books you've read so far, just from a like a purely technical, not from how much you enjoy reading it, but from a technical, you know, just like grammar, story, just from that side, like, what do you think is the best book that you guys have done so far?
Oh my God.
That is all a right. great question because,
okay,
yeah, it's a very challenging question.
Let's go in reverse order. So it's clearly not 64 squares.
No, I almost have to say that would be at the bottom.
Yeah. It's clearly not Trucking Through Time. I mean, we...
No, sadly.
Plot-wise, I think there's, like I said, there's a gem of something there. What else, Mike? What else are you crossing off the list?
I'm honestly stunned. I don't know what to... like, I'm fascinated to hear Taylor's answer because I can't think of it because everything, I mean, Klein's work is so bad. I think it's so bad. And the Mister is so bad that, you know, what's the best is the enemy of the good. Well, the worst is the enemy of the second worst, you know, like, I don't know how to figure this out. So what do you have, Taylor?
Well, I'll be upfront. I have not read all of these, but just listening to you guys and you know, I'd have to say it's got to be Tech War, right?
Oh yeah, I think that's true.
By process of elimination, and I was thinking about too, because the other, I mean, all of the self-published ones, these are all first time, like, you know, Jim Tice and Harris, this is their first, you know, book, and then the other people like Klein and Sean Penn, this was also their first book, so really, E.L. James has the most experience. He had like five books maybe before that.
That's stunning to hear that.
Probably,
that's true.
Yeah, Gulak probably had the most just, you know, experience just as a you know, ghostwriter. And so it's like, I really think that would have to be it.
I 100% agree with you now that you've brought that up. That is
the whole
true.
Book was just talking about characters that you had never met. That was literally all it was. And
I know,
but what
bests it? What is better?
I will always say that Ready Player One was the one that when we recorded, I would go and I would read more of it because I was so curious to see if you could pull it off. It has that page turning ability, and obviously utter garbage. But it's the only book on this that I know people who have, you know, accidentally read, who have had it recommended to them.
Isolate the audio right now. Connor Listoka, Ready Player One, a page turner. I couldn't wait to read more.
It's going to be paired up with a picture of me, like, digging through a dumpster, looking over my shoulder at the camera to snap the picture of me. I don't know.
I couldn't wait to read less. I would actually lie and say that I read it. I didn't read any of that book. It killed me.
It was the biggest train wreck, I think. So, I don't know. That's my answer. I can't say over Tech War.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
At least, yeah, you know, Ready Player One, I mean, there must have been something to it because that's probably the most celebrated of all the books you've read, the most praised, right?
Oh, sure. Probably sold the most copies.
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we'll, we'll get a definitive answer on this, but I don't feel good about my answer. That just is my answer.
Well, that was a good question to end on, Taylor. That was a fascinating one, and I'm surprised that we haven't brought it up before, but I believe you are correct. Connor is wrong, and that's the end of the story.
Taylor, are you the guy
Taylor,
are you from Far Side Memes and the guy who did the Weed and Start the Fire?
I am. That is me.
Oh,
guilty as
awesome.
Charged.
Nice to talk to you.
But, I know. And I used to live in San Diego also. So
Oh, wild. What neighborhood?
Yeah. Small world. I lived in Carlsbad, like northern.
Okay.
Sure.
North
County. Yeah, we were right near there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a funny, really quick story. I went to school down there, and when I was, about, it was like 2007, and I think so Riff Tracks had just started, and I think you guys were still a subsidiary of Legend Films, right? I was going to graduate and move, and I was like, I think it'd be so cool to meet Mike Nelson in person. So I actually went to the Legend Films offices one day and kind of knocked on the door and just said, hey, do you have a guy named Mike here? And they're like, he's out right now, but he'll be back. And so I kind of waited around and I got to meet Mike. I don't know if Mike remembers that, but
I remember a person stabbing me with something, and then I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. That's so, yeah, good job.
We had probably come back from O'Brien, so it was a foggy at that point in time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Taylor. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you, man. Talk to you later.
See you. So long.
All right. Well, sorry to everyone. There's still people calling in, which is amazing. It says busy. People called in busy 171 times. So I'm sorry for everyone who didn't get through it. I'm sorry for everyone who's currently on the air. But we gotta go. I gotta eat dinner.
Connor needs beer. Everyone. So sorry. This has been a lot of fun. It was the first time for us, so we apologize for. I hate leaving people, you know, hanging who made the effort. And so thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we'll do it again. And yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll be better next time, but this is a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate everyone on Patreon keep on trucking through time.
Yeah. All right. So long, everyone.
Bye.